So this morning we're going to be talking about Jesus, the revealing, a God of healing. And all the way through the gospel of all the way through all the gospels, there is a theme of healing. And we're learning at the moment, some of us might be reading, if you're not, don't worry, on the gospel of Luke and the way that he reveals God, or Jesus reveals God as a God of healing. And he has a God, he's a God of compassion. He loves to bless, to strengthen, to comfort, and to set free. And I love the fact that Luke is a doctor, and God uses a doctor to proclaim miracles and the supernatural to the rest of the world. And I also believe that God doesn't only work through miracles, but works through doctors and nurses. And that God is so interested in healing and has such a heart for healing for us that he has designed our bodies specially to heal themselves and to fight off illness. So today, I'm going to go through three main points. One is that God's healing power is freely available to all. And the next, in relation to healing, faith is helpful and having humility. So first, I'm going to ask Lucy to read a passage from Luke that's a great example of God's love and through healing flowing freely. So Lucy, if you can unmute yourself.
So this is from Luke 8, 42 to 48. As Jesus went along, the people were crowding him from every side. Among them was a woman who had suffered from severe bleeding for 12 years. She spent all she had on doctors, but no one had been able to cure her. She came up in the crowd behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak, and her bleeding, everyone denied it. And Peter said, "Master, the people all around you and crowding in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I knew it when power went out of me." The woman saw she'd been found out, so she came trembling and threw herself at Jesus' feet. There in front of everybody, she told him why she had touched him and how she had been healed at once. Jesus said to her, "My daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace."
Thank you so much, Lucy. I could have chosen quite a few other passages to talk from, but the reason I picked this is because I felt like I understood perhaps something of what this woman was going through. Not that I understood her illness particularly, but maybe her desperation. She had spent years and years with this illness of hemorrhaging, and I should imagine maybe been in pain. Perhaps she was discouraged, and maybe she was really tired and sick of being unwell. And having spent money, some translations don't say that, but others do, that she spent all that she had on doctors and nobody could heal her. You know, this must have been really her last resort. If she could go and receive healing from Jesus, then everything would be okay. But I assume she had to maybe walk for miles. And then when she got to this place, there was a massive crowd. She may have to have pushed between the crowds to get to Jesus. And then her faith was such that she thought, just by touching his cloak, isn't that amazing? I mean, I would have thought I would have just touched him. But just by touching his cloak, that she would receive healing. And she did. And the amazing thing with Jesus is that he's pushed and, you know, he's going from left to right, probably being crushed by the crowd. It's probably very uncomfortable. There's probably lots of distractions, people calling out to Jesus, wanting his attention. But the lovely thing is that when he notices that the power has gone from him, he wants to interact with the person. And I don't know whether he knows or not who it is, but he calls out and says, "Who was that?" Then when nobody answers, the disciples are trying to usher Jesus away. Come on, because actually he's not really there for an encounter with this lady. He's actually on his way somewhere else. but he takes time out to find out a little bit more about this person who has received healing from him. So he says, he insists that that person come forward. And you see, for her, probably there were a couple of people that had seen what had happened just before. They might have seen her touching his cloak. So they might be looking at her. And now there was no way of getting away from admitting what had happened. So she had to humble herself before him. She came to his knees and she told him exactly what had happened and that he had healed her. Now, what I like about his reaction to this, Jesus' reaction to this, is he doesn't say, yes, I've healed you, off you go, and doesn't sort of ingratiate himself or exalt himself in this situation. He puts it right to her and says, your faith has healed you. Isn't that wonderful? It shows that this is displaying not only a God that wants to heal, but a God that wants relationship with us. He wants it to be a two-way thing. And so he also does something else, is he gives her peace, go in peace. And I think that is a real big demonstration of what God can do for us. We may ask him for things and he may give us so much more than what we ask for. And so this is going to lead on to the way I've experienced healing in my life from God. And this is all a very personal account, and I've actually not told many people. So bear with me as I bare my heart to you. Basically, I grew up. I'm not going to tell you the whole story and all of my childhood, but I'll just go into a little bit of detail to say that I had quite an insecure and unstable upbringing, which meant that I was a fearful child. I was an insecure child and very, very shy, if believe it or not. And then as I grew up, it seemed that I wasn't like that anymore. But actually, all that happened was that I just became much, much better at covering it up. I still carried the fears and the insecurities that I had as a child. I just got just really good at acting. And once you get into the realm of covering things up, you get into the enemy's territory. And let me explain. If I had asked God to help me, he wouldn't have encouraged me to cover up. He would have encouraged me to open up. That's what God's about. He's honest and he's truthful and he's upfront. And unfortunately, the enemy is all about mask and what we can do to cover ourselves up in shame. So that's how I felt. And quite often in groups of people, I felt like an outsider. I always thought that the other person, a little bit of bitterness there maybe, you know, I always thought everybody else had it worked out and I didn't. So I was carrying all this stuff around with me for a long, long time. And I tried all kinds of things, but nothing seemed to shift me away from this. I did get some counselling, and counselling is good. It told me why these things were occurring, but it never gave me the internal healing that I really, really needed. So, I really endorse counselling, just to say that and put that on the table. So this is just my experience. And so what happened was I came upon my drug of choice. I'm just going to talk about this addiction that occurred through the fact that I had a back problem. And when I had my back problem, my doctor, he prescribed some painkillers, and they're called cocodamol. The cocodamol that I was prescribed was quite a high dosage. And not only did it take my back pain away, but it also helped me with a few other problems that I had. My insecurities went, my fear went. I was suddenly life and soul of the party. I didn't feel like an outsider anymore. And so, hey presto, new me. All I needed to do was take this tablet. well, slight problem with that, because I kind of run out of the tablets very, very quickly indeed. And then the back pain went away, so I couldn't go back to the doctor and get another prescription. So then I had to go to various pharmacies, because once you've been to one pharmacy and asked for a painkiller, they're not going to give it to you again. And when I realised that then I was going further afield than Marlow into other towns, then I started to think, this is getting out of control. But the problem is, it had got a hold of me. And the illusion that I had to begin with, that this was my friend and this was good, was beginning to turn its ugly head. A third thing that happened is that I got really snappy. Now, I'm generally, if you know me, I'm not the kind of person to lose my temper. It's not in my general character. So other things were coming in that were negative. So I was snappy with the kids for no reason at all. You know, I suddenly started shouting. Then the next thing that happened was I started to lose parts of my memory. So something would happen or I would say something, and I couldn't remember, because people would say, you know, you said this or you did that. And I said, no, I didn't. And I thought, oh, that's very odd, because I had done it. And like, okay, I know you're probably thinking, well, I've got a really bad memory. But if somebody was to say to you, well, you did X, Y, and Z that day, because you hadn't remembered you'd done it, your memory sort of comes back and you kind of recall when people tell you. Well, people would tell me and I would have no recollection whatsoever. It's like somebody had taken a rubber to my parts of my life and literally rubbed bits out. That's really quite scary. So all of these negative things, and there were various other things, people's noise, you know, it just seemed like everything was echoing in my head. And I knew this was all kind of getting out of control. It was building and getting out of control. And so my desire became to get back the control that the drug had taken away from me. I wanted my freedom. And so a little bit after this, I'd accepted Jesus into my life. And I realized that he was powerful. And if he was that powerful, he could help me. But the first step to my getting over this was admitting there was a problem. And the way to admit there's a problem is to have humility. Because if you come humbly to God, you can accept his help, And humbleness, being humble, is really important to God, because it's mentioned loads of times in the Bible. I'm just going to read a couple of examples to you. James 4:10, humble yourselves and God will lift you up. Chronicles 7:14, if my people humble themselves, and then God promises to heal their land. Luke 14:11, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. So God promises in our humility to guide us, to heal us, to exalt us, to give us wisdom, to give us grace. Now, who doesn't want that? So what is humility, I hear you ask? Well, humility isn't thinking little of yourself. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. You can be confident and still have humility. Jesus is a fantastic example of that. It's not feeling upset. Like, for example, when somebody else takes credit for something that you've done. Has that ever happened to you? That can, you can fester and get bitter about that. It's also praying for your enemies. Okay, I'm not saying this is going to be easy, and I'm not saying I can do this all the time, but it's something to look forward to look towards. It's confessing your mistakes as soon as you've made them. It's not putting people down. It's forgiving quickly. Humble people don't hold grudges. So I look towards being that kind of person. I'm not saying I always am that kind of person, but that is something that I orientate myself towards. So with humility, I asked God to help me because I realized I couldn't do this with willpower alone. I needed help, a higher help, a help from the Holy Spirit. And so I asked the Holy Spirit to replace my thoughts of wanting, needing, compulsion, addiction with good thoughts. And asking Holy Spirit to do that is called, what you get is inspiration in return. And the other thing was that I learned how to live in the long term. Now, I know people talk about living for the moment, living in the moment. But what if that person's in the moment is pain? What if at the moment they're feeling disappointment, rejection? That's not a good place to be. If you look in the long term, then you can know that there are better days ahead. There are days when you won't be in pain. There are days when you won't be hankering after an addiction. There are days when you won't be disappointed. There are days when you feel contentment in your heart. And in Christianity, we often talk about God being with us for eternity, us being with God for eternity. That's looking in the long term. So I got rid of all of my drugs in my possession. The reason for that is because if it's there, it's just another temptation. Just get rid of it. You don't go on a diet and go around the house looking at a cake all day. You need to get rid of whatever it is that is tempting you. And then you've given yourself a fighting chance. And before I knew it, the days and the weeks and the months passed, and I began to not even think about my addiction and about the drugs. I began to be living in truth, not covering up in shame. I replaced my selfish habits with things like working in the community, not expecting anything back, but actually getting the biggest blessing that I could possibly get, which is a sense of purpose in my life. And I'm not going to say I've got it completely together now, because I sometimes do feel fearful, and I sometimes do get insecure, and I sometimes don't get answer to prayer. But what I know for sure is that now I have a helper, I have a healer, a comforter, and an encourager that loves me no matter what. And it's something unchanging that I can put my faith in. I've got a lot to be thankful for. Now, I'm just gonna have a moment of reflection. And I want you to just listen to what I've got to say, wherever you're at the moment. Have we allowed unhealthy thoughts and habits to discourage us? Have we forgotten how to care for ourselves, trying constantly to please others? Is life a struggle that we just want to shout stop to? Are we harboring bitterness and insecurity, fear or shame? Are we living in the what ifs and the if onlys? If you identify with any of this, I'd like you to focus. And if you know that there's somebody that could identify with this as well, to focus on them as I pray. Creator God, help us to deeply know that your love and healing flows freely amongst all. Highlight what it is that is holding us back from living in your complete freedom. Lord, help us to receive the healing that you have for us. Lord, teach us to be humble in our friendships, our work, and with our family. How can we help someone find healing? guide us in prayer with faith-filled hearts. Give us opportunities to be a community that cares for each other. Help us communicate Jesus and your heart for healing, comforting and blessing. Lord, please remind us what we've learnt about you when we need it the most, in the ups and the downs of our day-to-day life. In Jesus' name, amen.